love to me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why. The story of Jesus and the Graveyard Demoniacs, Part 6. Continuation of the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 625, since January the 20th, 2017. Marching on to 1,000 days of preaching the gospel during this administration. Crying out in the wilderness. Preparing the way of the Lord. Calling on Christians and politicians and governmental officials and everybody to repent, for the time is at hand. All of us need to confess our sins and repent, and those who are lost need to be saved, and those who are saved need to be revived again and obedient to the Lord. Day 992 since January the 1st, 2016. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Have you ever been around an exceeding fierce person, an angry person? You get close to them, they back away from you, or they attack you. You touch them in a kind way, they jerk in such a demonic fashion, they turn over their bowl of food that they enjoy so much, they spill their drink. They're constantly angry, constantly mad, constantly afraid of others. They go to a public place and turn their head to the wall. They can't look you in the eye. They have a duping delight grin from their wicked heart, which is dipped in hell. What have we to do with thee? And behold, they cried out, saying, these demons, these devils, what have we to do with thee? This is a different race, if you will, of creatures. And if you don't believe the Bible about them, you're going to run amok in your life, because they will destroy you, and if they can, they will kill you. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? These demoniacs, they don't love Jesus. They don't love the work of God. They don't love the work of the church. They will try to thwart it and cause a problem in it. It is a demon spirit from hell. They cannot stand the success of it. They are mad as the devil, mad as hell at the success of the church. They're not happy about souls being saved. They're not happy about souls being reached with the gospel. And they hear great numbers and they frown. They oppose every good work. They are mean as the devil. They will try to hinder everybody who serves God and the gospel. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They're always pointing their finger at God's people, saying, you're tormenting me, you're bothering me, you're trying to hurt me, you're trying to harm me. These are the characteristics of demon-possessed people. And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. The question came to my mind, why did Jesus allow them to go into the swine? I have no idea. And apparently nobody else has an idea about it. We do know that Back then, the swine was unclean to eat. Pigs were and hogs were unclean to eat to the Jewish people. And we all know that swine, pig feet, pork chops, chitlins, all that is unclean to eat today for our health. The first thing the doctor would tell you, don't eat any pig. Now, there are big farmers who pay millions of dollars to encourage you to eat the pig. They call it the other white meat. You're going to be in the hospital with all kinds of diseases eating the unclean pig. We all know it. Not only do the Jews consider the pig unclean because God said so, but the Muslims do as well, and many others. And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, they knew they were going out of these men, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. Could it be that Jesus allowed that to happen because their judgment time was not yet? I don't know. And I'm not going to act like I do know. Only God knows about that. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. Nothing befell them. They got delivered. Isn't it interesting how that when you get saved and Jesus casts the devils of fornication and adultery and drugs and drunkenness and pride and foolishness and clubbing, people think you have something has befallen you. Oh, he's not the same anymore. He's not the Danny B I know. He doesn't run with us anymore. Nothing has befallen them. They got saved. They were delivered from the demons of hell. But that's how the world will view it. Oh, he's not this. He's not like us anymore. I don't want to hang around him anymore. He doesn't run with us anymore. I haven't even seen him down at the club with his flashlight anymore. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw Jesus, they besought him. They went up to him and said, look here, you need to go. You know, you came and you done what you wanted to do and you conquered and everything. Man, you're messing up our business. These were the devils we knew. And so it's better for us to have the devils we know than all this commotion that you're bringing to our shores. Now, let's reason together, and let's you go ahead and depart from here. They besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Here is the man who delivered the demoniacs in the graveyard that these folks couldn't even pass by. And they don't want the demon to go, they want Jesus to go. You know, that's how we are today in our society, unfortunately. People now, and you know it's true, say that which is evil is good. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are weak and feeble, but we know that you're strong and mighty. We pray that you'll give everybody your grace and your strength, Lord, at this time to serve you well here as your holy word goes across the country and around the globe. And we pray live and on demand and in 100 languages. Lord God in heaven, demonstrate the power of your strong Holy Spirit. For we cannot do anything without you. Have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How you use us, I don't know. But I give you the glory, praise, and honor for the privilege. And today we pray that lost souls would be saved. Christians would be revived and encouraged, your holy name glorified, and Jesus Christ lifted up, and Satan always horrified by the name of Jesus Christ and by the blood of Jesus Christ. For in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus' confrontation with the Gadarene demoniacs, or more correctly, the demons possessing the Gadarene men, show us important contrasts between the work of God and the work of the devil. And by the way, this is what it boils down to, people. You have God's good works and the devil's evil works, and we are truly in the battle of our lives. Someone said, this is a fight, and that person is right. We have seen how demon possession or demoniac influence always leads to spiritual death, and very often leads to physical death. Demoniac or demon influence, contrary to what many people think, is alive and well. You don't believe me? Your son that you raised up in the Lord every day of your life has been duped by the devil, and that's why he's not in church with you, and you can't find him. You prayed for that boy and you helped that boy, but he's worse than the prodigal son. There's a devil loose. Your daughter, who once was so promising and so encouraging to you in the faith, was such a blessing to you, now is whoring around in the streets, getting pregnant, having abortions, doing silly and foolish things, being disobedient, disrespectful, rebellious. There's a devil loose. There's a devil influencing your child, even in your home. You know why your marriage is on the rocks? It's not just flesh and blood as you try to make it. We as human beings, even Christian so-called human beings, always want to make it a flesh and blood situation. You know why? Because we can get our little heads around that. But you do not understand, and you didn't accept the fact that there is a devil loose seeking to destroy your marriage, your family, down to the ground. And unlike the devil never gives up. As long as you stand for God and stand for Jesus and stand for the Word of God, the devil is going to be on you like white on rice and black on me. He's never going to stop. So that's why God tells you to never stop praying and forever stop playing and straying. If you want your marriage and family to stay together, you better pray together. That's a fact. You better read the Word of God together. And so demonic influence is also the root of most division and conflict in the world. You need to understand that. It's not just flesh and blood. It's not just President Obama. It's not just President Trump or President Bush, as some of you foolishly believe. You have been deceived. You have been bamboozled. You have run amok, thinking that politics can save you, thinking that a president can deliver you. How stupid. The devil has made you to become. That's foolishness. And some of you love your politicians more than you love Jesus. Some of you have never passed out a leaflet for Jesus, but you'll pass out a million leaflets for a politician with stinking breath and who has to use the same use the bathroom the same way you do. You go knock on a million doors for a no good politician, a lying politician. You won't knock on one door for Jesus. You're a hypocrite and a phony and a fake, and you know it. You don't have faith in God. You don't love God back. You don't love Jesus back. You don't fear God anymore. You're not obedient to God, therefore, and you're not faithful to God. Satan is the divider in chief. And whenever he can influence one person or one group of people to oppose another, he will. Even in the family, even in the church. We've had more church splits. Thank God, God uses it for good oftentimes, but we've had more church splits because of the devil than a little bit, as we used to say, down in the hood. Thus, my beloved, the Gadarene men in this passage had been driven from their families by the devil, from their communities by the devil, and were abiding in or living in a graveyard. They would rather be with the dead than with the living because of the demons in their lives. Some of what we call being introverted is okay. Most people who've done great things in life are introverted people. Not hermits, though, however. Not little hermits. But some of what some people call being introverted is demonic activity. When you hate being around other people altogether, you never want to go outside. That's demonic. You never want to interact with people. That is demonic. You don't look people in the eye. There's some demonic activity going on deep down on the inside. You can't help bursting out in demonic laughter and giggles because of the evilness of your heart. Psychologists call it duping the light grin from hell. Some of you have seen this on criminals' faces. They have murdered several people. But all of a sudden, they grin when they're being interviewed. It is a duping delight grin. That's what psychologists call it. We call it demon possession. Because there's nothing to grin about. There's nothing to smile about when we're talking about doing heinous, evil sins and crimes like that. This is when the judge says, okay, we're going to sentence him to life and to death. Because he has no what? Remorse. He's laughing in court. He's grinning in court. That's the demon on the inside of him. I know you smart people. You don't believe that demons exist. You will believe it when a demon grabs a hold of your daughter, goes into your house while your child and gets your latchkey kid child while you're at work and dumps her in the car, rapes her, rips her apart and kills her. You'll believe that there's a demon loose then. Which that just happened this past 2 weeks. And it happens every day around the world. Three or four demons in South Africa saw this white couple. These were some black demons. Excuse me. I don't care if you get mad about it or not. They beat him half to death and took the girl and raped her. and left her for dead. And when you see them in court, they look like demons, like ravenous wolves from hell, because of the evil they did. And by the way, if you are demon possessed, that demon look will come on your face. Excuse me, I don't care if you believe it or not, it is true. You'll see the demon in the people's faces, in their eyes, in their expressions. I've heard the demon voice come out of a human being. It does not even sound like the person. Don't tell me it doesn't happen. I know you little educated citizens of America, you don't believe that. But that's what's wrong with you. That's what's wrong with your marriage. That's what's wrong with your family. And you're trying to tap it down with little counseling, little psychological mumbo-jumbo, and it's just going to explode in your face. And it is exploding in your face. Don't you get mad at me. There's a demon loose. There's a devil loose. In families, in churches, in communities. There are some things that are absolutely inexplicable outside of the devil working. And the devil is working because Christians are not praying. They're playing and straying. And that gives the devil a door to get in there on you. The demon's conversation with Jesus reveals all the important workings of the demonic realm. Isn't that true? Such as the fact that the devil's minions are restless. Are they not? Are you this way? Are you around people who are constantly moving? They have no peace. They have no rest. They're always trying to go to the next thing. They're little jitterbugs. They're always moving and doing stuff they have no business doing. And it's just making up stuff. And they can't sit down. They can't rest. They can't relax. They can't sleep. They're always jerking, shucking and jiving, doing this and that, meaningless stuff. You might have a demon on your hand. You might have a demon inside of you. Can't rest. Can't stand being alone. Go home and get run out of your own house by the devil there. To go and find something else to do. Come home for 5 minutes and dash out back out the door. Trying to find somebody. Trying to find something to do. Can't stand being alone. You might be dealing with a demon. They agitate and are agitators. They can't stand peace. They cannot stand calm. There's a new app now called Calm. They get the app and they do the things there. They're still not calm. They agitate and are agitators. Peace, rest, and calm are foreign concepts in the kingdom of darkness. I guarantee you, if you go to a true Christian home, there will be peace. Not phony peace, but real peace. There'll be quietness. That is why the devils beseech or beg Jesus to send them into a herd of swine feeding a good way off. Why? Because demons cannot fathom the thought of being cast into the ether, out into space. They long for a physical form to possess, consume, damage, and control, and ultimately destroy. They're like termites. They eat you from the inside out. In contrast, God honors the free will of his creation. Does he not? And only fills those who willingly come to him with his spirit. God forces no man into salvation or into his service. That's how awesome, that's how secure, That's how loving our God is. But if he can, the devil will take and use you without regard to the well-being of your life. He can care less. In fact, when the devil finishes using you, you're used up, you're dead. Because the devil seeks to destroy and to kill and to do away with. That's why so many people are missing. So many people are dying early. So many people are committing suicide. The devil drives people to commit suicide. Don't be shocked. Over the next 4 weeks, you're going to hear about another person who committed suicide. The devil will drive you, and he'll drive you, and he'll drive you, and then there'll be one thing. And I don't care what nobody says about it. One of the most gifted television men in history of television, Michael Bourdain. I don't know his name, his first name is Michael, but I know Bourdain is his last name. The devil was driving him and driving him and driving him for years, a restless soul. Then, after he got involved in a woman with one of those women who can just rock your world, then the woman who rocked his world convinced him to pay millions of dollars to a teenage kid that was getting ready to blow the whistle on her. She saw this woman who rocked his world with another man, flirting and kissing and holding hands. That took him out. That's how fast it can happen. The devil will push you and push you and push you, and you think you'll have control, and then zip, bam, boom, there it is. That one thing will cause you to jump off the cliff. And before you know it, you're flying through the air, getting ready to bust your skull open, because the devil pushed you off. It happens every day. And now all of a sudden, it's happening to church, so-called church leaders. They call themselves servant leaders. That's nowhere in the Bible. It's just a fleshly thing that we have adopted as Christians because we want to be somebody. The church, pastors, church servant leaders and leaders, now military leaders, are killing themselves. Why? Because the devil is pushing them. The devil is driving them to destroy themselves. And if that's happening to you, beloved, you better trust Christ as Savior and hang on him for dear life. Because the devil is not playing. He's taking names. By the way, the Church of Satan, which pops up in the news every month or so nowadays, we never thought we would see the day, but we are seeing it. We haven't heard much from Dr. David Jeremiah in recent months. Ever since he wrote the book, I never thought I'd see the day. Boy, he got that title right. Claims that one of his core tenets, the Satanic Church of the Devil, claims that one of his core tenets is the embracing of the spirit of rebellion, so-called freedom, and rejection of authority. It is running rampant across this country. That's why so many people are being killed, by black and white, by police officers. Because people don't understand the concept of authority and respecting authority and saving your life. Basically, they want what the book of Judges describes as every man doing what is right in his own eyes. My God, help us. Ironically, my beloved, however, it is God's people who are truly free, because, and I'm talking about those who are truly saved by Christ, because they trusted Christ as Savior and they have submitted to Christ. For they have willingly submitted to God through Jesus Christ. those under the influence of the devil are in bondage. And they know it and you know it. You know you're in bondage. You're wrapped up by the devil because you've allowed the devil to come into your life through the eye gate, through the ear gate, looking at things online. You have invited the devil into your wicked heart. You got things in your mind and in your heart right now that you cannot unsee. Every time you try to pray, you see ungodliness. You see pornographic scenes that you have digested. Pornographic acts that you have done. Homosexuality has filled your wicked mind. And the demon has entered into your life. You are trapped. You're bound up like Samson because of sin, evil, foolishness, and rebelliousness. And you're mean as the devil because you have the devil inside of you. You have no joy, you have no peace because you're in bondage. You are a hypocrite, a phony, and a fake. You are an imposter for real. Just this past week, First Lady Michelle Obama brought out how she dealt with the imposter syndrome, another psychological term for feeling like you are an imposter, a phony, and a fake, that you should not be doing what you're doing. And you're just pulling a wool over the folks' eyes. It's a syndrome, another psychological term. But you are an imposter for real. You know you're not born again. You know you're not saved. You love the devil more than you love God. Why? How is that shown? Because you're disobedient to God. You don't love God back. You don't trust in God. You don't fear God. And if you don't fear God, you're not going to obey God. You're not going to be faithful to God. You don't even know God. Jesus is going to say to you at the end of time, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Into hell you will go. And you know who you are. You know the demonic giddiness you have inside of your heart at evil. How you grin at evil. Have a duping the light spirit and grin and laughter at evil in your heart. That if you could do it, you would do it. If you could get away with it. And so, beloved, those under the influence of the devil are in bondage. Because the devil does not care about the effects of sin on the person. Have you ever wondered why you hate those who are serving God? Why you despise those who are serving God? How that you secretly give them the finger under your clothes and under your breath? You curse them. You hate them. You despise them. Why is that? Because you have a demon inside of you. Why is that? You're never there for every good work. And you hate every good work. You never want to be on board with what God is doing. You always want to be contrary to it. Why? Because you have a demonic Judas spirit residing in you. He only wants to use the person to further his own dark ends. The devil only wants to use you to try to hinder God's work. We must also note that demons, ladies and gentlemen, have no power except that which they are allowed. The demons besought or begged Jesus to send them into the pigs. They could not do even this on their own. This harkens back to Satan, who had to get permission from God to afflict Job. Tertullian remarked, if a legion of devils had not power over a herd of hogs, How much less have they over Christ's flock of sheep? But allow me to remind you, you need to resist the devil if you're saved, if you're part of the flock of sheep. You say, well, preacher, what is resisting the devil? Let me help you out. It's very simple. Nancy Reagan was right when she told young people to just say no. If you are saved, if you are born again, if you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, if you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have the power now to say no to the devil. And anything that is evil and ungodly that comes to your wicked mind and to your wicked flesh, through Christ you have the power now to say, no, devil, I can't do that. That's not going to be beneficial. That's not expedient. That's not going to work with God. No, 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 no. I can't do it. People talk about, well, you know, I was born this way. Everybody's born a sinner. I know some people, they can't tell the truth. If you paid them $1 million, they're born that way. Their mama was a liar. Their daddy was a liar. And they're liars. There are some men who will never get over. I don't care how old they get. They'll never get over the beautiful form of a fine woman. They'll never get over it. And I am one of them. I was born that way. My uncle was that way. My dad was that way. And it runs in our veins. Being attracted to the opposite sex. And then there are people born with the inclination to be attracted to the same sex. But all of us, if we are born again and saved, can say no. There's some people who their mama was a drunkard, their dad was a drunkard, it runs in their family, or they have a family full of drunkards, and they are tempted to get drunk every time they drink or every time they even get up. Do you know there's some people who, when they get up in the morning, they got to go to the store to get some alcohol because they want that first thing in the morning for breakfast instead of coffee and tea. We call them winos. They make a line at the door of the, what we used to call the ABC store, the liquor store, in the morning. They don't wait till afternoon when it's proper, but in the morning they make a line. The winos make a line. Homeless, they don't have anything to eat, but the $2 or $3 they got, they're going to spend it on a brown bag. Why? It's in them to do so. They're not tempted with fine women. They're not tempted with lying, but they tempted with that wine and that strong alcoholic beverage. We all are tempted with something. We all have a besetting sin, every last one of us. But if you're born again, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, we have the power to say no to that evil. We can resist the devil when he comes to us with that. And if you were the devil, would you not attack people at their weakest point? The devil knows not to even tempt me with any money. The devil knows not to even try to tempt me with no same-sex garbage. The devil knows not to tempt me with lying. So the devil focuses on my weakness. Fine, voluptuous women. I'm tempted with that right there. Just like many other red-blooded American men. And that is obvious. Check with Cosby. Check with Moonves. Check with Lawa. Check with Trump. Check with even George H.W. Bush. But we all have the power, if we're saved, to say no. And if we mess up, we all have the power to ask God to forgive us and to cleanse us and to say no again, to resist the devil that he flee from us. And we have too many saved people who are not praying. They're straying and they're playing. And they're not saying no to the devil. They're not resisting the devil. How about the people who are melancholy, prone to be melancholy and sad and pitiful and want to put on pity parties? They can say no to the devil too and say, you know what, I'm not going to be that way. Brother Chalice said the other day, he's kind of like I am, all this stuff about greeting each other, turn to your neighbor and shake your hand and hug and tell them that something good going to happen to you, and hugging and telling the person to your left that you got a beautiful future and all that kind of stuff. He said he didn't like that, the greeting thing in the church that we are compelled to do oftentimes by gregarious pastors. I'm like he is. I don't like to get into all of that. But as a Christian, we can say, you know, even though I might be an introverted, private person, I can do that a little bit. I don't have to be cold like that. I can hug somebody and say what the pastor says. If it makes that person feel good, now it doesn't make me feel good. I already know something good is going to happen to me. Something good has already happened to me. And I know that great things are going to happen in my future. I don't need for my neighbor to tell me. But there are other people who need that, obviously. So we all can say no to evil and say no to stuff that we're tempted with. And yes to things that are pleasing in God's sight. And so, ladies and gentlemen, this truth is important to remember when we face off against Satan. If we are in Christ, the devil has no power over us except that which we allow. We give the devil opportunity to influence our lives through sin, lack of prayer, lack of Bible reading, lack of church attendance, and fellowshipping too much with the world. Those who remain in the world, even some who are in church. Why is it that you always have to gravitate to the most evil person in church? The most low-life person in church? You know why? Because you're a low-life yourself. The devil recognizes the devil. There's something wrong. When you always got to go and fellowship with the most wicked person that comes to church. The dark, devilish individuals. Why is it that you're not attracted to the person who prays every morning at prayer meeting? Who reads the Bible? Who's doing the right thing? Whose family is intact? Why you got to always go to the person where the family is all out of whack? The Bible would not instruct us, ladies and gentlemen, to resist the devil if he could not be resisted. Amen, somebody. The devil's power has always been limited, and he is subject to the power of God, which resides in each and every one of us. For great is he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And that's a fact. Greater is he that is in us that is in the world. Jesus Christ ought to be in control of your life, not the devil. And if you don't know Christ, you need to trust Christ as Savior today and get on the winning side. When Curtis Hudson was dying and he was preaching in Charlotte, North Carolina, the great evangelist, the great pastor of Forest Hills Baptist Church, and the great editor of the Sword of the Lord. He couldn't sing just like I can't sing, but he ran back one Sunday evening and said, I'm on the winning side, whoa, I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side of my Lord, whoa. I'm on the winning side, oh yes, I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side with my Lord. Are you on the winning side today? Or are you defeated and disgusted and depressed because of the devil working in your life that you have allowed to work in your life. Malty D. Babcock wrote so many years ago, one of my favorite hymns, we used to sing it a whole lot in years past. We don't sing it that much now. Every now and then we'll sing it. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears all nature sings, and around me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand of the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens reign. God reigns. Let earth be glad. Amen, somebody. Let's stand for the reading of, for a word of prayer. I'm already thinking about my second message, but let me not get ahead of myself. Let's pray together. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for your holy word and the power and the strength of your Holy Spirit, using a weak servant like myself. I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for your might and your power and your holy word, and for what you have done here today, what you're doing, and what you will do. And help us to realize, Lord, that this is warfare, and that we have people all around us who somehow foolishly think that this is a game, and the devil is whipping them and using them and turning them every which way, and they don't know what side is up, because they refuse to pray without ceasing. And I'm talking about Christians right now. They refuse to obey your holy word. They refuse to repent of their sins. And then there are those, Lord, who don't know you as Savior. They might be religious, but they're lost and on their way to hell. And I pray that you would open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls. You said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so, Lord, we ask for over 3 million souls to trust Christ as Savior, to repent of their sins, and to follow Christ for the remainder of their lives on into heaven. We pray for those Christians who are weak and torn down and backslidden. Help them to pray without ceasing again, to repent of their sins, to seek your face, to turn from their wicked ways, and to get back to you, their first love, so that they can be revived again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in closing, we are with you today. And if you are with us and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God. The white man has failed God, the black man, the yellow man, the red man. We all have come short of God's standard of holiness. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of our sins. Our body goes to a grave because of sin. Do you know how expensive these bodies are? They're beyond measurement. But yet they will die and will be wasted in the grave because of our sin. Our soul will go to heaven or hell, depending on whether or not we trusted Christ as Savior. If we trust Christ as Savior in this life, we will go to heaven. If we reject Christ, we will go to hell. It's very simple. And so that leads me to my third point. Accept the fact, dear friend, that if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you're on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You say, well, who is going to hell? The Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Hell and the lake of fire is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that word "whosoever" includes you, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell but have everlasting life." Trust Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou you shalt be saved." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you today. That's a guarantee. That's a guarantee from the Word of God. That's a guarantee from the Word of God. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the power of sin, saved from the pain of sin, and saved from the punishment of sin in a place called hell. That's a great deal, my dear friend. All you have to do is believe on Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and pray and ask him to save your soul. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer right now to the throne of grace, asking God to save your soul because of your faith in Christ. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, and he will save your soul. Repeat after me. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I have come short of your holy standard because I have sinned against you. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I've done evil in your sight, as you well know. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures, and my faults. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life into eternity by your grace. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for changing my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, that he was buried, that he died, that he was buried and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.